today. Our hope is in our living Savior today. What a difference the Lord Jesus Christ makes in our lives. I want to invite you this morning to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. We're going to work our way through this chapter this morning as we continue to study the book of Proverbs and continue to seek God's wisdom for our lives, for our homes, and for the world today. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts as we read His Word. It says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet he hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despise the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is helped. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want." As we're continuing to study these Proverbs of Solomon, chapter 13, it's as if Solomon is just walking through the fields of wisdom and the realms of revelation. He's continuing to preach and to teach and to paint picture after picture with each proverb of wisdom and folly for us. It's like he's going there through the field and he picks a flower of revelation there for us to look at its beauty. He finds a grain of truth for our spiritual nourishment and plucks it for us. It's like he mines some diamonds from the soil of this field there of instruction for us, or finds a pearl of wisdom and all its beauty, and he holds it up for us. And it's kind of like we're following him in chapter 13 and just wishing he'd slow down. Illustrate for us, amplify it, elaborate on us, but he's just here and there picking up proverbs of truth and wisdom and displaying them for us. And about all we can do is just pray and ask God to help us see the beauty of this revelation, to feed upon the truth that we find here in these chapters and verses like this, to help us heed the instruction that we can find here, and to treasure those words of truth and wisdom that Solomon is writing, that the Holy Spirit of God is revealing to us in these Proverbs. This past week, as I was studying this chapter and wandering along in these fields, there were some things that just began to stand out through all these Proverbs. And I believe this morning there are some things here in this book, Proverbs chapter 13, some things that can make us or break us in life. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning, the things that make us or break us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come to you now in these final moments of this worship service. Lord, we've had the privilege to come to your house and to fellowship with one another. We've had the opportunity to study your word and a time together. We've had the privilege to lift our voice and praise and worship unto you. And Father, we've had the awesome privilege of reading your word. And so Father, we ask now that in these final moments, that Lord, you'd help us to understand your word. You'd give us humble hearts, hearing ears. Lord, help us to receive the truth of your word. Help us to repent where it's needful and necessary in our lives. And allow you to fill us, God, with your spirit that we might live our lives according to your word. Lord, as a messenger, I pray you'd fill me with your spirit. Free me to preach your word and truth. Hide me behind the cross today. I simply desire that you be lifted up and that your word and wisdom be proclaimed, because, Lord, it's your truth that transforms our lives, our homes, and makes a difference for all eternity. God, help us to hear that truth today. Lord, help us to receive it. And Lord, may you work through us in such a way that others can see the truth and come to the truth through us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, one of the things I notice in studying and reading a chapter of the Proverbs every day and studying and preparing to preach the Proverbs is time and time again you hear Solomon calling attention to the importance of listening and paying attention and heeding instruction. Look at there in verse 1 of chapter 13. And you'll want to keep your Bibles open this morning as we revisit these Proverbs and look at each one of them as best we can and talk about them this morning. In verse 1, notice what he says. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. I don't know about you, but I believe this book of Proverbs, he's addressing his son. It's more than likely it's Rehoboam, the son that he knows will be the heir to his throne. And I can just see Rehoboam as Solomon is teaching and proclaiming these Proverbs. I can just see him sitting there as a young man daydreaming. Maybe he's doodling on a piece of paper. You know, maybe there's a class of students and all of Solomon's children there as he's trying to instruct them. Maybe they're writing and passing notes. And so here Solomon, he says, a wise son hears his father's instruction. A wise person is one who listens. He asks questions. He seeks to learn. He wants to hear. He's willing to heed reproof, to be corrected, to be instructed, and to be disciplined. You know, he's not one that would be sitting there in class giggling or passing notes or maybe texting to their friends in a classroom situation. You see, Solomon says, one of the wisest things you can do is listen and heed correction and instruction in your life. Look down in verse 18. He says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. He's trying to emphasize, listen, if you're not willing to listen and heed instruction, then all you're going to have is poverty and shame in life. Now, we understand that in the physical realm. We want our children to get a good education because we understand that when you educate yourself, you learn, you have the ability to get a better job, to be able to provide for yourself, to take care of yourself. But if you're not going to listen, if you're not going to learn, if you're not going to heed instruction, then you're not going to be able to make a living for yourself. But listen, there's a spiritual application here. Solomon, I believe, is dealing with the spiritual side of it as well. When we're not willing to listen to God's Word, when we're not willing to heed correction, to be disciplined by God, to be instructed by God, the result is spiritual poverty and spiritual shame. We may go through life and have all the wealth of this world, but when we enter into the next life, if we don't have Jesus, if we've not humbled ourselves to His Word, we enter eternity separated from God in our sins. And so here's Solomon. He's saying, listen, son, pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you. You see, you need to listen. And Solomon would also say, you need to learn. In fact, you're never going to learn until you're willing to listen. Look in Proverbs the 15th and 16th verse of this chapter. He says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. You know what Solomon's saying there? He's saying, listen, son, you can learn one of two ways. You can learn from the experience of others, from the instructions and teachings of God's Word, or you can learn the hard way. You can learn the lessons of life the hard way. And the fact is, most of the time, we, rather than learn the lessons and examples of others and heed the instruction of God's Word, we learn the lessons of life the hard way. You think about Solomon. Here's Solomon. He had the life of David, his father, a life filled with many truths and illustrations, examples of faith and trusting in God and the discipline and chastening of God. And yet Solomon, for the most part, had to learn the lessons the hard way. Last week and the week before, we were looking at Proverbs chapter 31. We were talking about the things his mother tried to teach him. But what do we see in Solomon's life? He never forgot the lessons she taught. He just never paid attention to them. He had to learn those lessons the hard way. Read Ecclesiastes. He tried wine. He tried wealth. He tried women. And he finally come to realize what his mom and dad had tried to teach him from the very beginning. All is vanity under the sun. The only thing that matters is the fear of God and following Him and worshiping Him. Now here's Solomon. He's trying to instill this truth into his son. But he's not lived the life as an example before him. Perhaps Rehoboam is saying, Daddy, I can't hear what you're saying. Your life is so loud. I can't hear what you're trying to say. But you know what, folks? Even though Solomon wasn't perfect, and even though he learned his lessons the hard way, the Holy Spirit of God inspired him to record and to write and to edit and to compile these words, these proverbs of wisdom. It's been placed in the Word of God by the Holy Spirit of God so that we can hear it, so that we can learn, so that we don't have to go through life learning the lessons of life the hard way. We can go through life learning from the example and teachings, the admonition of God's Word, that it can make a difference in our life. Now, I want you to notice some things here this morning. We're just going to jump into this chapter and try our best to cover it this morning. But basically, I see three things that can make you and break you in life that Solomon, I believe, kind of points out through these Proverbs. A man's words, a man's wealth, and a man's ways can make you or break you. You notice there are several proverbs here in this chapter that have to do with the words from our mouths. You see, there's a simple truth that what comes from our mouths affects our lives. We can speak words that bless others or belittle others. We can speak words that encourage and build up or tear down. The words of our mouths can make us or break us. They can make others or break others. Solomon wants us to understand. You can go through life with a bad mouth. You can go through life with a big mouth. But what you need to go through life with is a blessed mouth. Amen. One that goes and speaks blessings. Look there in verse 2. He says, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He's talking about the fruit of one's mouth. That word good there, it means pleasant. right or pure. That word violence there, it speaks of profane, of vile, of crude, or corrupt. In other words, you can go through life with a clean mouth, or you can go through life with a bad mouth. We're living in a day, in a culture, in a society. It grieves my heart today. People seemingly cannot communicate today without profane, vile, vulgar language. You can't turn on the TV. You can't watch a primetime show without some form of curse word or a profane, vulgar word. You can't rent a movie today. I've got DVD players in my house. I've got Guardian players. I've got ClearPlay players. All this technology just so I can sit down and watch a movie without having to hear someone curse the name of God and take His name in vain. I mean, it's everywhere you look. It's all throughout our society. People are speaking, and there are people in the workplace, people in the community that talk to you, and they don't even realize it, the filth that's coming out of their mouth. Honestly, I believe if you could delete those words from their vocabulary, they wouldn't be able to communicate with you. They couldn't speak. They wouldn't know how to make a sentence. Am I right? I mean, I hear it all. And most of the time, people don't even pay attention to it. Listen, children today are growing up in homes and they're hearing language that'll make a sailor blush. And they're speaking words in the community when I show up that make me, the preacher, blush. That's just how terrible it's gotten in our society today. James said in chapter 3, what? Out of the same mouth comes cursing and blessings? Does a fountain bring forth sweet water and bitter water? These things ought not be so. Hear me this morning. If you've been saved by the grace of God and your life covered under the blood of the Lord Jesus, there's going to be a lot of changes in your life. And one of the first things that's going to change is the words coming out of your lips. They're going to be words of praise, proclaiming the gospel, speaking truth. They're not going to be words that are vulgar, profane, and ungodly. It makes a difference in our lives when we come to know Jesus. It makes a difference in our words. Your words will make you or break you. Listen, He doesn't just talk about a bad mouth. He talks about a big mouth. Look on down there, verse 3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Now the simple truth is, like I told you before, we've got two ears and one mouth. We'll listen twice as much as we speak. The problem is we won't speak twice as much as we listen. And God's people have to come to realize one of the wisest things you can do is to keep your mouth shut sometimes. If you're not going to speak the truth, then keep your mouth shut and don't speak the lie. If you don't know what you're talking about, keep your mouth shut. The wise person knows when to keep his mouth closed. I was reading Job, been reading Job in my quiet time this week. I'm working through that. Have you noticed in Job, everybody's talking? Job's talking, his wife's talking, his friends is talking, Eliu shows up and he starts talking. And the only problem is they're all talking, but none of them saying anything. I mean, they don't know the facts. They don't know what's happening in heaven. They don't understand the dilemma in Job's life because they don't have the view of eternity and they don't see the war and they don't understand any of that. And so here they are. They're all talking about it and they're not saying anything. And finally, when they all suck all the oxygen out of the room and everybody runs out of words, then God shows up and then He speaks. And God says, Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? In other words, God asked him a string of questions about creation to simply call attention to this. Job, you don't understand the material universe and how I rule it. How in the world do you expect to understand the moral universe and comprehend what I'm doing? In other words, God was saying to Job and his friends, you can't figure out the factors in the simple equation of creation. What makes you think you can figure out the factors in the difficult equation of the battle between good and evil and God and His sovereignty and righteousness? You see, The wise man is one who knows when to keep his mouth closed. He's one that knows that instead of having a big mouth that's always talking and most of the time talking about something he has no clue about, he's one that only opens his mouth when he can speak truth and can speak wisdom. See, the wise man is one who has a blessed mouth. Look down in verse 5 there. He says, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. See, a wise person with a blessed mouth, they hate lying. They're an honest person. They speak the truth. In other words, you can trust them and their words. They have a blessed mouth. They have that reputation. They'll tell you the truth and you can trust them. You know, one of our presidents, Abraham Lincoln, he earned the name Honest Abe. That name stayed with him throughout the years of time since his life. You know how he earned it? As a young man in a store, a customer overpaid him 4 pennies. And when he got off work, Abraham Lincoln walked for miles that night to take those 4 pennies back to that customer before he went home and went to sleep. When he got to be a lawyer, he was given the reputation of being the most honest lawyer this side of China. Because in the middle of a court case, you know what Honest Abe would do? He would call attention and point out to the opposing side of any points they neglected to make against his own case. You won't find no lawyers like that today. But when they shot him and killed him in the theater, the Secretary of War said he belongs to the ages. And he's forever remembered today as an honest man. You see, your words can make you or break you. If you have words pure, words of truth and praise, you'll forever be remembered as a man with a clean mouth. You'll be forever remembered as a man who could be trusted in the things that he said, in the commitments that he made. Oh, listen to me. Your words can make you or they can break you. I want you to see something else here in our text this morning that can make you or break you. Not just the words of a man's mouth, but his wealth. Solomon was he was the wisest of kings over Israel. He was the wealthiest of kings over Israel. And if anybody knew wealth could make you or break you, Solomon understood that truth. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say money was evil. It said the love of money is the root of all evil. The Word of God teaches this truth. We can worship God with our money, or we can worship our money as our God. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, your wealth can make you or break you. And Solomon had many, many proverbs of truth to teach concerning how we acquire wealth, how we spend our wealth, how we use our wealth, the difference that it can make. Look there in verse 7. Solomon said, there is that maketh himself rich, yet he has nothing, and there is that maketh himself poor, and yet he has great riches. You see what Solomon's saying? You can live your life greedy, but the more you acquire of wealth in life, the poorer you'll be when you get to the end of life. He said, or you can live your life generously. You can give, and when you come to the end of life, you will have great rewards and riches. Howard Hughes in 1977 died, one of the world's wealthiest men, a billionaire. He had acquired a great empire, financial giant, and yet in the latter days of his life, he was afraid to go out in public. He didn't want to be around anybody for fear of getting sick or getting some kind of germ. He would lease a whole level on a hotel, and he would shut out the windows, black them out from the light of the sun, wouldn't allow only just a chosen few to make any kind of contact with him, lived his life in his pajamas, eating fudge, died weighing 90 pounds of malnutrition, a multi-billionaire, but he had nothing of this life when he left it. But then there are men like Charles Studd, who was a very wealthy and affluent man. And under the ministry of D.L. Moody, he gave his heart to Jesus. He gave away his wealth, left everything to go to China. He left China to go to India. He left India to go to Africa. He gave his life, he gave his wealth, all for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The slogan of his life was this: some want to live within the sound of church and chapel bell, but I want to run a rescue shop a yard from hell. And Charles Studd left this life and entered into the riches and the rewards and blessings of the next life. See, you can hoard it all and lose it all, or you can give it all away and invest it in eternity. Look at verse 8. The ransom of a man's life or his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. You know what Solomon's saying there? A rich man, you know, they can buy themselves out of a lot of problems and troubles and trials in life. But you know the thing about a poor man? He doesn't have to worry about a lot of that. In fact, nobody's ever going to kidnap him and hold his life for ransom. Nobody's going to be envious of the poor man. You see, Solomon wants us to understand this. There's some things that money can buy, and there's some things that money can never buy. And it's not what money can buy that makes you wealthy. It's what money can't buy that makes you truly wealthy. Money can't buy you salvation. Money can't buy peace in your heart. Money can't buy a godly home that honors God. I want to tell you, those are the things that are priceless. Those are the things that money can't buy. You see, it's knowing Jesus and serving Him that makes you truly wealthy and rich. Look in verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. See, there's a right way and a wrong way to acquire wealth in this life. We're living in a day of get-rich-quick schemes where people, they want to get rich, but they don't want to work. We're living in a time of the lottery. Everybody wants to play the lottery. Let's play the lottery. We can hit it rich. And you know what? Most of those who hit it rich, they die poor. They waste it all. And they find themselves worse off than when they hit it rich. We're living in a day where gambling's back. Man, they've poker tournaments and poker championships and go to Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And our casinos are building family resorts where the whole family can come out there, and it's just like Disney World. And the sad truth is parents are gambling and their children are learning to gamble and throwing it away just for the hope of getting rich quick. We're living in a society where everybody thinks crime pays. Oh, I can make some money. I can have the cars. I can have the houses. Crime pays. Well, I can tell you three that would tell you today crime don't pay. The three guys, they found their heads in the cooler this last week on the side of the highway in a drug cartel. Drug deal went bad. I guarantee you they'll tell you crime don't pay. And that's what Solomon says. Wealth gained in vain diminishes. But when you work hard and you work honest and you do what's right, God blesses and God provides. God cares for you. Look on down there in verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for righteousness. You know, I believe this truth, this proverb here, doesn't just have to do with leaving your children and children's children an inheritance of physical wealth. I believe it has to do with a spiritual inheritance of leaving your children and grandchildren with a legacy of teaching them to be stewards for God, to be generous and to take everything that God's given and to invest it in the lives of others and to see and experience God's blessings. You see, the Word of God says you can hoard it and be greedy, and you end up leaving every bit of it when you leave this world. Or you can be a steward, you can be generous, you can leave a legacy, and all that will be passed on from generation to generation and will be used to bless others and to be a blessing to others. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Have you ever thought about Israel when God brought them into the promised land? You ever think about the fact When they went to the promised land, the Canaanites lived there, but God judged them and cast them out of the land. When they got to the promised land, they lived in houses they didn't buy or build. They drank out of wells that they didn't dig. They lived and ate off of the vineyards and fruits that they didn't plant or they didn't work. Why? Because the Canaanites refused to worship God and were eventually judged, but the people of God inherited the wealth of the wicked. And I believe there's coming a day, we talked about it in our Sunday school lesson this morning, where God's people will inherit that blessing as well. Well, finally this morning, I want you to see one other thing that'll make you or break you. Not just our words, not just our wealth, but our ways. The ways of a man's life can make you or break you. Look in verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Nothing provokes God like pride. Pride is the sin of Satan. Pride caused a war in heaven. 1/3 of the angels were cast out. The first time pride showed up in heaven is the last time pride will ever be in heaven. When we get to heaven and we stand around there before the throne of grace, I want to tell you, none of us are going to be talking about what we did to get there. We're going to be talking about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross so that we could get there. And the Word of God helps us to see this truth. When you're prideful and arrogant in your ways and unwilling to submit your life to the Lord, it'll make a difference. It'll break you in life. But when you're humble and you heed the wisdom of God's Word, it'll make you in life. Look on down to another verse there, verse 19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. You see, a righteous man, when he's seeking to honor God with his ways, to do what's right, you know, whenever you do what's right and do what God would have you to do, there's satisfaction, there's joy. You know that peace of knowing, I did the right thing, I honored God. But you know what Solomon says? The evil person, it's an abomination for him to turn from evil. In other words, a wicked person, he would rather die than to give up his life of wickedness and sin. I was reminded this week, do you know how they trap monkeys in Africa? The trapper takes a jar, puts a nut in it, with a jar with a very slim neck to it, and he ties that jar to a tree, and the monkey comes along, he sees the nut, he puts his hand in the jar, grabs the nut. But he can't pull the nut out because he can't get his hand back through the jar. All he has to do is let go of the nut. The trapper shows up with a big stick, and here's the monkey, chattering in fear and frustration and anger. All the while, he's beating him in the head with the stick. And the monkey dies because he won't let go of the nut. It's a picture of a sinner in his sin, mastered by his lust, enslaved to do evil. Many would rather die than to let go of their sin and say, God, forgive me and change me and change my life. Your ways will make you or they'll break you. Look at another proverb there, verse 21. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. See, when your ways are unrighteous and you refuse to humble yourself before God and live a life displeasing to God, the Word of God says this, evil will hunt you down. Your sin will find you out. There is judgment coming for those who do not humble themselves in repentance before a holy God. Listen, the ways of your life will make you or they'll break you. Look at these couple proverbs. Verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Look down at verse 23. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. You see, a man's ways, the labors of his life. Solomon constantly goes back to this theme. Son, if you live your life on wishful thinking as a sloth and you never do anything and never work, you're never going to be anything. You're never going to have anything. But if you'll work hard, if you'll labor honestly and diligently, you may never be a millionaire, but one thing's for sure, you can lay your head on your pillar at night and sleep and know that God's going to take care of you. And God's going to provide for you. Look at some of these next proverbs. The ways of a man. The labors of his life. The Lord of his life. You can fear the Lord and submit to His Word and be blessed, or you can reject His Word and live your life in disobedience to His Word and experience the judgment of it. Look in verse 13. Whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Listen, we're living in a day and time. People despise this Word, and they're intent on living their lives in opposition to it. They don't care what it says about the man and woman in the home and the family. They don't care about what it says about the life of the unborn. They hate it, and they're going to live their lives in opposition to it. And God says, Solomon says, they will be destroyed. They will face the judgment. But for those who fear this, for those who live their lives according to it, they will be rewarded. Look on down here in verse 6. Look back up in verse 6. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. Here's a proverb about the limits of God's Word. Man, God's Word is like the banks of a river. You know how the banks of a river hold the water in and channel it in the right direction so there's no devastation, there's no destruction? God's Word is like the banks of a river. It holds our life in the right place. It keeps our life flowing in the right direction. Whenever we disregard God's Word and get out of the limits and out over the banks of God's Word, our life becomes like an old stagnant swamp filled with filth. But when we live within the limits of God's Word, we enjoy the blessings of God's will and God's working in our life. You realize every thou shalt not of His commandments is God's way of saying, I love you, don't hurt yourself. A wise person will live within the limits of God's Word. He'll follow the light of God's Word. Look in verse 9. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. God's Word, the psalmist said, is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It shows us where we're at as sinners. It shows us where we need to go in serving and following the Lord. And it brings joy to the Christian when he submits his life to the Lord, when he sees his sin, gives his life to Christ, and then takes the Word of God as a lamp to his feet and follows the way of righteousness. It brings joy to his life. But the lamp of the wicked shall go out. When the wicked person refuses the light of God's Word, when they ignore the light of truth and God's Word, and they look to the psychics and the astrologers and the mediums, and they look to the false religions and the false teachers, when they look to the philosophies of this world and ignore the light of truth, one day they stand before God, and the light of truth will forever go out to them, and they will spend an eternity in darkness, separated from God. The Word of God is not just our light. The Word of God is what brings life. Look in verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. You ever been so discouraged and depressed, you just felt sick and down and out, but then all of a sudden a good word comes, or what you were hoping for or praying for occurs, and all of a sudden it's just like you're filled with life and energy and joy. That's the picture there Solomon's painting in that proverb. And it pictures the sinner who in his sin and cast away from God, when he hears the word of the truth, comes to the truth of the gospel and experiences the tree of life. When he comes to repentance and faith in Christ and experiences the tree of life. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, eternal life, everlasting life, but an abundant life. Look on down in verse 14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Just like a fountain brings life and blessing when we're hot and dry and thirsty, the Word of God brings life. It brings salvation. It brings an abundant life and a meaningful life. It's a fountain of life. Oh, the ways of our life can make us or break us. Look at these next few and I'll be through. Verse 17, the love of a man's wife is revealed in his ways. Verse 17 says, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Listen, a righteous man loves the truth. He knows the truth. He proclaims the truth. And he promotes spiritual health because people hear the truth and come to know the truth. But a deceitful messenger hates the truth, doesn't proclaim the truth, and he causes people to turn from the truth. Let me just give you this illustration. Think of the words of Billy Graham. Think of the untold thousands whose homes and hearts and lives have been changed and come to know the Lord through the words that Billy Graham has preached throughout a lifetime of ministry. Now think of the words that Charles Darwin wrote in The Origin of Species and how many will enter a Christless eternity today thinking they were nothing more than an evolved monkey. A faithful messenger promotes health, brings people to the truth. A deceitful messenger brings mischief. Amen. Notice something else here. He not only loves the truth, he loves to hang around the right crowd. Verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You see, the Word of God makes it clear. A wise man, he'll spend time with the crowd that will encourage him to do the right thing, to live the right way. That's why God gave us the church. That's why we need to come together in Sunday school and study the Word of God. That's why we need to pray for one another. That's why we need to call one another and say, we missed you, we're praying for you. We need to hold one another accountable. You see, peer pressure is not a bad thing as long as your peers are the real friends and not the cruddy buddies that are constantly trying to lead you away from the right things and the good things. A wise person's going to hang around with those that's going to encourage him to do what's right and not do those things that are wrong. Notice something else a wise man will love. He'll love his children enough to discipline them. Look in verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now there's two things that that verse spoke to me long ago. First of all, my dad loved me. He loved me to death. But you know, as a young Christian, I read that in the King James. And it says he chasteneth his son betimes. And I asked the Lord, what does that word mean, betimes? And the Lord made it clear to me. When that child is laying in the floor kicking and pitching a fit, and when they're sticking their finger in your face and telling you no and telling you what they're going to do, that'd be time. That'd be a good time. That'd be the best time I know of. Let them have it. We're living in a day where there's two extremes in our child rearing. There's those that are abusing and mistreating children, and it's a sin unto God. My heart just sank this week when I read about a mother suffocated her 3-year-old son to death, had second thoughts, resuscitated him, and then turned around and did it again and buried him in a playground. Kim Fortney was sharing in my Sunday school class this morning, a friend of hers involved in the foster care program, took a little child into her house this week, 7 years old, 15 pounds, But then there's the other extreme. There are those who follow Spock and don't want to spank and don't love their children enough to discipline them when they do wrong. And therefore, when they get older in life and the preacher's preaching, there's a holy God that loves you and forgives you of your sin, but He's also a just God that will punish you for your sins. They don't pay attention to the preacher and they don't pay attention to the Word of God because they never had parents that loved them enough to tell them, when you do what's right, you're blessed. When you do what's wrong, you reap the consequences of it. Finally, look in the last verse. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Solomon says, when you honor God with your words and with your wealth and with your ways, you're going to have a life that's satisfying, that's meaningful. You're going to experience a joyful life in eternity. But when you dishonor God with your words and with your wealth and in your ways and reject His Son and reject salvation, you're going to waste your life and you're going to end this life and enter into the next life with no hope of heaven. You're going to end up in eternity separated from God in your sins. See, a man's words and his wealth and his ways will make him or break him. Because the difference is made when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you come to know Jesus, the words of your mouth will be changed from that that's profane to that that praises God and glorifies God. Paul used to curse the church and Christians, but he said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. It's the power of God unto salvation. When you get saved, the words of your lips will change. When you get saved, you realize the wealth of this world, what will it profit a man if we gain the whole world and lose our own soul? We realize the one thing that truly makes us wealthy in life is when we have a personal relationship with God. When you give your heart to the Lord, your ways will change. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. Your words, your wealth, your ways, they'll make you or they'll break you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just ask now in these final moments, this invitation, that Your Spirit would take Your Word and apply it to our hearts and homes as it's needful and necessary. Lord, as Your people, we need the wisdom of Your Word to guide us in the things we say and the things that we do and how we acquire the blessings of life and what we do with the wealth and the blessings of life You give us. But Father, we also recognize there may be someone here today that doesn't know You and Your salvation. And Lord, they don't know the difference that You can make in their words and in their ways and with what they seek as wealth in their life. So Father, we pray that maybe today someone could come to know You in the joy of Your salvation. We'll thank You, Lord, and praise You for what You do and accomplish in these final moments of this service. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you stand with us this morning, if God's speaking to your heart, we invite you to come to respond to His Word and His Spirit this morning.